For about 40 years now, I have carried in my Bible at John 13 a 3-inch by 3-inch piece of terry cloth towel to remind me of Jesus' act of love and humility and service to his disciples by washing their feet, an example for them and for us that we are to love each other and serve each other in humility. In the original Navigators 2.7, Course 1, the author says this: serving is one of the greatest challenges in the life of a disciple. Everyone enjoys being served, but few make an effort to serve others. People don't mind being called servants, but they don't want to be treated as servants. The mature Christian is marked by what he will do for others without expecting anything in return. The focus of our study this morning from Acts chapter 28 is Paul's servant heart. While chapter 27 is all about Paul's leadership, chapter 28 is about his servant heart. He showed he had a servant heart and thus the mind of Christ. We read in verse 1 of Acts 28, "Once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. Those who had been shipwrecked, all 276, found their way to the island and all were saved," as the closing verse of chapter 27 tells us. It was winter, it was cold, and it was raining. The island was called Malta, an island 18 miles long and 8 miles wide. It was 60 miles south of Sicily. They spoke Greek and Phoenician on the island of Malta. Malta was the Phoenician word from the Phoenician word meaning place of refuge or escape. Sailors would go there for rest. It was settled by retired Roman soldiers, thus under Roman jurisdiction with a large measure of autonomy and a Roman governor. It was known for its prosperity, one writer said, and its residential architecture. We're told in verse 2 that the islanders showed us unusual kindness. They were kind to them. They were sympathetic to them as well. One writer said it was not the kindness that happens every day. Rather, this was extraordinary kindness they were shown. Islanders is literally the word barbarian, but the Greek term translated islanders is a Greek term that means non-Greek people, not savages, not uncultured. To Greeks and Romans, strange languages sounded like bar, bar, bar. Thus their word barbaroi, from which we get barbarian. Today, barbarian connotes savage or primitive or crude or uneducated, but it was not that way in that day. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us, all because it was raining and cold. Paul gathered a piece of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper driven out by the heat fastened itself on his hand. We gain some insight into the character of Paul in verse 3. Paul did his part. Paul did what needed to be done. No task was too menial. Paul didn't want to be served. He was rather an example of a servant leader. Warren Wiersbe said this: "If you had saved 276 people from drowning, would you feel it necessary to do menial labor like picking up sticks? Certainly the grateful passengers would have relieved Paul of the task, but Paul was a servant and he did the job that needed to be done. No task is too small for the servant of God who has the mind of Christ." William Barclay says this of Paul: "Great man though he was, Paul was not ashamed to be useful in the smallest thing. It is only the little man that refuses the little task. Referencing Paul's servanthood in Acts 28, A.T. Robertson says, few things show Paul to better advantage than this incident. Wiersbe shares this story about D.L. Moody. One rainy day, a man accompanied by two women arrived at Northfield hoping to enroll his daughter in D.L. Moody's school for young women. The three needed help in getting their luggage from the railway depot to the hotel, so the visitor drafted a rather common-looking man with a horse and wagon, assuming he was a local cabbie. The cabbie said he was waiting for students, but the visitor ordered him to take them to the hotel. The visitor was shocked when the cabbie did not charge him, and was even more shocked to discover that the cabbie was D.L. Moody himself. Moody was a leader because he knew how to be a servant. The mind of Christ is most clearly seen in a heart of service. We are most like Jesus when we serve. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 8 says this, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus took the very nature of a servant. We are most like Jesus when we serve. Jesus also taught in several places that the way to greatness is servanthood. In Luke chapter 22, verses 24 to 27, his disciples were arguing over which of them was the greatest, and he gave them an illustration. Who is greater, the one who is at table or the one who is serving him? Jesus said, but I am among you as one who serves. Matthew chapter 20, verses 24 to 28, Jesus said, if one wants to be great, they must become servant. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. Jesus is our example of service, as we've already seen from John 13, as he washed the feet of his disciples. J. Oswald Sanders, in his very great book, Spiritual Leadership, says that this from Mark 10:43, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. He calls this the master's master principle. Why does it seem difficult to serve? Well, I think it seems difficult, serving seems difficult for us many times, because we would rather be served than to serve others. We want to be the one served. I think serving is difficult because to serve, we must elevate others' needs ahead of our own. Service is difficult also because of the low status of some service. It's not service that's public enough for many people. In his book, Daily Discipleship, the author says a lot of Christians feel discouraged because they can't preach or sing or stand up in front of a group. Sometimes they begin to think their gifts and abilities don't count for much in the kingdom of God. Nothing could be further from the truth. Over the years, I've been involved in hundreds of Christian conferences and church meetings, and while the speaker often gets the most attention, it is usually someone else who deserves the most credit. Someone sent invitations, handled the registration, prepared the room, and prayed for the Lord's blessing. The speaker stands on a platform of service provided by those who work unnoticed and out of sight. Those who work behind the scenes have a ministry just as important as those who stand up front and lead. And he concludes, whatever your gift, exercise it, rejoice in it, and the Lord will reward you in a wonderful way. Sometimes we find it difficult to serve because the service we're asked to do seems menial to us, or it's not a position of power. Serving is difficult because it interrupts our own pursuits. Serving is difficult because it can easily feel like we're being used by others. But the example of our Savior is to serve others. The call of our Savior is to serve others. The example of Jesus, the example of Paul, is that we should serve others. What are some of the ways that we can serve each other? Well, there are a number of ways. Hebrews 13, verses 1 to 2 says we can serve each other by hospitality, taking meals to the sick, having missionaries in our home, making others comfortable. We can serve others by doing good to others, Proverbs 3:27. We can do good and serve each other by sharing our material goods, 1 John 3, verses 17 and 18. We can serve others by supporting the Lord's work, 2 Corinthians 8:4 and 9:1. We can serve others by being a peacemaker, Romans 14:19. And we can serve others by personal involvement in the lives of others, 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 11 to 15. We can serve others, believers and non-believers alike, by praying for them, praying for the believers we know and the difficulties that they are facing, praying for the need to witness to the lost, praying for those who are without Christ and need Him in their lives. They need eternal life. As we go to prayer this morning, let us pray that we might have a servant's heart, the heart of Jesus. Let us also pray for those who are trusting superstition or religion, but not trusting the Savior alone, who died for our sins and rose from the dead, and offers eternal life to all who put their trust in Him.